everyone, and welcome to Marketing Masters. I'm your host, Cash Miller. I'm also the CEO of Titan Media Works. We do podcast production. Today, we're going to talk about brand marketing campaigns. You know, there are so many things that people can do with their businesses to build up their brand. Really be, you know, we think brands, we think Nike, we think Coke, we think all of these things. But, you know, businesses of all sizes can do this. They can build up a brand. And when you do that, you know, you build sustainable value. You know, this is something, you know, brands are kind of an intangible of sorts, but you know, they have a real impact. And even whether you're local, you're national, you're, you know, global, you know, you can do these things that big companies do regardless of your size, but it takes a little bit of work. I've got with me Jason Margasa. He's with VNeck Media. Jason, hey, it's great to have you on. Tell us a bit about, you know, yourself, your agency, where you guys focus.
So Cash, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's been great. So just quickly about my background. I come from a very strong creative background. I was a music composer, a dancer, a stand-up comic, a filmmaker, did all of that to a pretty high level, I think. And then really decided to kind of start, you know, really building a business. And so we started a kind of a creative production and marketing agency.
Well, you could have been a disaster at it and just nobody told you.
Exactly. I heard some laughs here and there. So
yeah, I got to ask, how do you go from, you know, let's say stand-up comedian, musician and stuff into the marketing realm? Because that's a bit of a transition there. There are definitely skill sets you bring over, but
100%. I mean, look, how you make the transition is everyone else. It's really tough to make money in the other avenues. But yeah, honestly, though, I'm glad I did it. It gives me a really unique perspective from an artist perspective in the marketing and business realms, which, you know, not everyone has. So I definitely feel that I have a unique perspective. Anytime I approach a campaign, a business, a company, I'm always kind of looking at it artist first, business second, while some of my other partners are looking at it business first, business second. So it really creates a unique kind of overlapping of different ideologies.
Yeah, I think that I can relate. Well, not the music part, except that I live south of Nashville. And so I've had a number of musicians or people trying to get into the field work for me because they can't get into the field. So I understand that part of it not being able to make any money at it. Yeah. But okay. And then you also got an interesting business name in the case of VNeck Media. You know, where's the VNeck part come from?
Yes. Yeah, so we are kind of bread and butter early on was video production. And we were, me and my whole crew, we were always just wearing V-neck t-shirts, like always on production. We'd always look around and we were either in whites or white t-shirts or black t-shirts. It was always a V-neck t-shirt. And it just became kind of our uniform, kind of like by accident. And then when we were like coming up with the name, I was like, we were looking at photos of us and we looked at a set photo and all five of us were in a V-neck t-shirt. I said, that's our uniform. And then kind of at the same time, you know, we started playing around with kind of slogans and we're very bold people. I'm very loud. My 100-year-old grandmother told my mother one time, I can't hear anything. I can hear Jason as clear as day. So we're very bold people. So we love the slogan, stick your neck out when you're wearing a V-neck t-shirt. Just because a lot of companies, you know, it's important. You know, I can roll right into branding. It's definitely important to stick with the brand. It's important to stick with your company's ideology. But in my opinion, I think companies play it a little too safe sometimes. And I think it's important to, you know, you don't got to go do a 180 and completely go against what you believe in. But I think it's important to kind of pay attention to the temperature of the culture and, you know, be a little bold. So, you know.
Yeah. I gotta say though, you know, I'm looking and it doesn't look like you're wearing a V-neck shirt. So
it's cold. I'm in Boston right now. It's too cold for me. It's like 20.
I'm a little disappointed here, you know.
It's 25 degrees, but this hoodie's sort of V-neck. But no, it's so cold out. I was like, I'm bundling up today.
Yeah. Tennessee's weird right now. It was cold overnight and then it's 52 now. You know, like it was cold and windy. I'll get out.
I was in Nashville a week and a half ago and it was colder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. We're like, all this bad weather that's hitting, I know you're getting hit with it and everything, and all it's all going around us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're right in the center of it, and it's all missing us. We got hit with wind and rain last night, but that was it.
Wow.
Anyway,
wow.
Like, okay, so you just had an interesting slogan for the V-neck part, okay? Mm-hmm. Stick your neck out. I think that is, like, awesome. Is that a – I've never heard the slogan. Is it one that there's a brand out there that does V-neck shirts, obviously, you know, that they use it? Or is it something you guys use internally?
It's something that we use internally, just because, again, we've always been really creative. And if you really look at some of the most successful marketing campaigns, they're usually really super interesting and creative. They're not playing it safe. If you look at the most successful Super Bowl commercials, all the biggest marketing campaigns and ad campaigns, they had something really special happening because the company was willing to really go out on a limb and be a little bolder. I mean, I got examples for days, but so we really wanted to try to adhere to that with our own philosophy and the way that we approach customers. Is that always going to be that? Not every brand needs to go that, you know, outside of the box, but
sure.
We try to encourage it because just in the results that we see, we're always studying campaigns, whether we are working on them or not. I'm always reading about them, reading numbers. I'm reading, you know, success stories and, you know, anecdotally and usually the more creative campaigns win.
I totally agree with that. You know, what I'm wondering is, okay, so if you're going to go this more creative route for your campaigns, how for small and mid-sized businesses, you know, trying to build brands, can they apply that kind of a strategy, you know, to really get noticed? Because you do see occasional, and the one that always, you know, Dollar Shave Club, you know, way back when, you remember the video that he first came out with in like 2012 or something?
Of course. You know, that did very well. That did very well.
Yeah. I mean, the guy ends up selling the whole company to like Gillette for $1 billion or something.
Yeah.
You know, but that original video that he did was so out there. But boy, did it get traction. And the thing is if you look at it, watch the video, it's a really creative video, you know, of him going around that warehouse and, you know, all the things he says. But there is nothing really that says, hey, it doesn't do anything to tarnish the brand. It's made him stand out. It made the brand stand out. But there wasn't anything controversial or anything about it.
No. So, I mean, I think when it comes to small and medium businesses, they're in an even better position to kind of to step outside and be creative, because a lot of the larger companies, they're already really set in their standards. They're set in their ideology. They're set in the optics of what people expect from the company.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've seen, I'm not going to get into it, but we've seen recent examples when companies step out of that comfort zone and into something new. It just doesn't work. It's just not going to work. So with a smaller company, you know, because you don't have that much traction yet, you know, there's a thing we always, I'm sure everyone says it, fail and fail fast, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's more of a flexibility to really test out some different approaches, test out some different things. And, you know, especially if you look at, you know, nothing you ever learn is going to be always set in stone. But if you look at the marketing archetypes, there's definitely, you know, certain companies and certain brands that fall into a more comedy category. So you can get away with doing that kind of comedy approach, while other companies, it wouldn't make sense to do that. But as a small and medium brand, there's so many people with creative ideas out there. Not that everyone who's creative knows how to actually apply it to a brand. That's a thing that people get confused about with, quote, creativity, gets a little lost because, you know, there's, you know, just I use this as a music analogy. There's one thing when I was creating my own songs from scratch versus another thing when I was composing for a video game. The parameters completely change. Yeah. I can't just, I'm in a party mood, I'm going to make a party song. Mm-hmm. When you're scoring for a video game, if it's an ice level, the sounds you choose have to sound like ice. It's got to be a certain pace. So that same creativity applies to any type of marketing campaign. But there's a lot of people with great ideas. There's a lot of up-and-comers who want to learn, but these businesses really need to give those people the opportunities. And especially if they're a smaller business, there's not as much to worry about, because again, if you're still growing, your brand isn't as locked in as a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi mm-hmm. or things of that nature. So, I really encourage small and in medium businesses to be open, to really be open to pushing the creative bounds a little bit more than a larger company is usually comfortable with.
Okay. So if you were to approach this, if you're the business owner and you say, okay, I'm willing to do this, but I don't even know what direction to go in, because you mentioned, okay, some go for comedy, which we've seen plenty of over the years, you know, and some can take other approaches. What would be the, I guess, process that you might go through to define where you may go? Because, you know, I mean, it's going to be a lot different than, you know, if you were, say, a dentist versus some manufacturer or something, or, you know, like there's so many different types of businesses out there and what kind of makes sense. So what kind of process would you go for to kind of figure out what makes sense for you to approach if you're going to get out there? Cause it's like I said, it's not all comedy. It's not all one thing. There's other ways to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is, and this is just kind of like, and it's so funny how, you know, I remember, you know, like I've always been a big fan of the basics. Just the basics, right? Mm-hmm. The basics are sometimes the most important thing. And the tricky thing, and I've even been guilty of this, not anymore, but like I've been guilty of this. When you get to such a high level sometimes, you forget the basics because you say, oh, I've been doing this for a decade. I'm so good. But in actuality, those fundamentals of the basics can never be skipped over. So I bring that up because the first approach is really understanding the company inside and out and understanding your competition inside and out. Like really look at everything from, do they have commercials? Mm-hmm. What's their social media looking like? There's so much data that already exists that has like traction, that has measurable stats to look at.
Yeah.
So the very first thing that any marketer, any creative, any type of person approaching, number one, that company should expect that person to do a lot of research to really have a full grasp of their business, the competitors. Because once you have a grasp, you can now start to really come up with the game plan that's like, okay, these three companies did this and worked well. We can do that because it's already proven to work. Or what if we shift it a little bit? But, you know, we don't want to shift it too much because then we're going to fall into this category and you might mm-hmm. study another company that went a little too far and hit that category. So, you know, really comes to understanding the company, understanding the competitors and really in understanding, I can't overstate this, understanding how to properly apply creativity to the brand. Because I think the word creativity is just too loose. It's too loose. There needs to be a really understood application of how to apply that in a corporate, in a business setting.
Yeah. But you want to start, you know, it makes sense to go, of course, after the competition, you know, and do that research because you want to see what they're doing. You know, it can be, yes, this seems to work and why, you know, and they're getting traction and you can emulate it. But if you really want to stand out from the crowd, you need to know what they're doing so that you don't do it. You know,
exactly.
So that you can figure out a different formula for yourself. Maybe you have some takeaways from it, you know.
Well, in Cash, and to your point too, the other thing that's tricky is like, you know, 2018 may have been 5 years ago in time as far as like the way we measure time. But in the world of today, that's like 15 years ago, right? So it's like, so what worked in 2018, probably not going to work in 2024. So you can't take it with, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt and see it. Because if that cup, like Dollar Shave Club, that exact approach may not work today with another shave company, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that you can't get inspiration from it and kind of look at how they did it and look at that and still take the, you know, I mean, if I was looking at that from a perspective, I would look at, they took a really organic approach, the one shot camera, the one camera shot in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Really organic. You can still take that approach and maybe, you know, just apply it to the temperature of today. But so, you know, even though you study it, to your point, you still have to really look at what's happening today, see what they did. Did it stop working? You know, because if you go and they kept doing the same thing, that's what I mean by the research over the past 10 years. But at the end of the day, you really do need to create, you know, your own method and path, but past inspiration is the best place to really get started.
Yeah, you're right. You know, they said that kind of past inspiration, I know that campaign spawned like or, you know, a bunch of others followed suit to do similar campaigns. And that's what, you know, like I say, you know, best form of flattery, right? But you do have, if you were to update it, if you were to change it and say, okay, well, it's a decade later, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, and part of by looking, it is not necessarily about that campaign. It really becomes about how many other people basically took the same approach, because you're going to have other people that did, in which case now what was original back then is now tired too, because so many people have actually emulated it. They've copied it in their own way for different businesses across different industries.
For sure. But then on occasion though, you have your kind of outliers, like, you know, like Geico's still doing the wacky stuff, like everything, yeah. But it seems to work. Like they're changing it up. They're not using mm-hmm. the same characters, but they've been doing that for like 15 years now, maybe two decades. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but it seems to work because they've really found this weird thing. Like they just found that this energy. They found like the energy of their business, which is this weird thing. But again, but you got to pay attention to that, because that's not always going to work.
Yeah, because in the case of some campaigns, you know, Geico is one, you know, where they take the campaign and evolve it. So if you're looking at the longevity of a campaign, you know, and that's what you should be thinking about. If you're really going to do something that helps you stand out, is it one and done? Or is it something that you can, you know, build on over time? And that's what Geico's done. You know, if you look at, you know, they basically, you know, was it, they have a, you know, they've got the gecko and whatnot, and he's around in everything, but they put him in all sorts of different situations. And then you also have, you know, you take Flo, you know, if you're talking insurance and stuff, but now she's got a whole cast of characters, you know, kind of around her that keep appearing in other commercials. So in fact, they've even got a secondary character that, you know, that short white dude that's in there. I don't know his name, but he's appeared in a bunch of them, and they give him more and more of a role, you know, for it. So you want to be thinking about, okay, if you're doing this, how do you do it over a long period? You know, how can you make it evolve? How can you keep it from becoming stale eventually, if you want to try to really build it up? Because you're building a brand around a lot of those things. Like say, you know, Progressive, I don't think of Progressive necessarily. I think of the characters now because of how long they've been doing it.
No, I agree. And the thing too is, you know, alongside with the idea, like you really got to have the right approach to and the right channels, right? Because I think that's the one thing people don't get is like, yeah, if you air something in the Super Bowl, right? Everybody's watching that. Everybody's watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But most situations aren't like that. So, you know, really figuring out like really what's going to work with your demographic. The thing that people don't get is you got to try things in marketing. Like you really have to, and not everything is fully measurable. That's the other tricky thing that people don't want to fully grasp. Like a billboard isn't really measurable. No one can mm-hmm. click on a billboard and you can right. track that. You can kind of see things tick up. Even social media ads, someone may look at something and never click on it, but they still might buy it. I do that all the time. Things yeah. that I see, I don't click on the ad, but I'll end up buying it. So don't get me wrong, you know, there's always a way to measure it somehow. But again, you really have to pay attention to the analytics and the data and really see when you try something, did something uptick? Did something tick up? And you can find pretty quickly. Yeah. You don't got to wait 8-9 months to do it. You know, see it in a month. If something ticks up, you really got to start doing that. So it's really about, you know, having that right. And this is perfect circle back to my thing with knowing how to apply creative mm-hmm. to a business, because does your creative fit with the demographic of the customer, and like you have the budget to put it on the proper channels to reach that customer with the creative that you use. So it's this unique dance that you really, you know, have to really pay attention to. But again, what we've seen, to go back to my original point, is the bolder the better.
Yeah, you also, because you mentioned, you know, you've got different platforms, and of course a lot of platforms are social media related and stuff, but based on the platform that you want to be able to, you know, run these kind of campaigns, whatever you're putting together, there's going to be adjustments. And we're not talking just, you know, adjustments for the kind of formatting for the platform, because TikTok takes different things than Instagram and stuff. It's more so of that the audience could be a bit different on that particular platform, but also the type of content that they're consuming is different. We know short form video is like huge on, you know, TikTok. And then of course, Instagram's gone and copied it. YouTube has got their version of Reels and everything going. And so you have to consider that and what can work, you know, can it work across those platforms when you're crafting that campaign?
100%. I mean, and that's the thing too, with like, you know, I mean, what kind of TikTok and Instagram has created, which it's both good and bad. I mean, I think everything is both good and bad, right? What they've created is, you know, they've really created a, as far as like the quality wise, good enough is fine. Doesn't have to be great. Good enough is fine, because I'm seeing a lot of these, like, you know, these ads, and it's like, it's a cell phone video, and it's just, it's set up. It's like, oh my God, look at this new sink I got. And it's just like a quick little video. But if the sink is cool enough, it works. If it popped up in front of enough people, it'll get going. And even if people aren't buying it, if the idea is good enough, it'll still go viral. That's a thing too, that an idea, you know, and I think when people think viral, people think 100 million views. That's not viral. 100,000 views is viral, right? And it happens every day. It happens every single day. Multiple things go viral every day. So viral, you know, I think we got to lessen the term. When something gets 100 million views, I think we need a new word for that. That's not viral. That's a whole different proportion. But you know, but just understanding that, like you said, you know, different content for different channels, different approaches for different things, and you really gotta go through it. Because then the tricky thing is, it's not like a golden rule either,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? Like content. Like if you take two of the same companies, two competitors that are both making sneakers, like what maybe a TikTok worked for one other one, but maybe it didn't work for another one, because the sneakers are, one of them has more of like going after more of a younger hip hop crowd. The other one's going after like a running hiking crowd. So you really have to take all these things into account, and you really just have to try everything and fail fast.
Yeah. I like your point. In the case of like using cell phone video and stuff, because people still get lost or caught up in the fact that there should be this like high level of production value. And that is not necessarily the case, because when you're doing those, you know, what is low level production, but you can do it a lot quicker. And a lot of, especially if it's social media stuff, anything campaign, it is about putting more out there that helps to build it up, because, you know, in the case of like any kind of ad, if you try to run it on Facebook or anything, you're going to get ad blindness. It's better to be able to change. So you talk, you know, fail fast. Well, that the campaign overall could be working. You may have an ad within the campaign that did not, you know, it could be something as simple as that. Move to the next one. But it's content creation when you're doing this, when you're building like large followings for a brand, the quicker. You know, a lot of people don't care that the high production value is really there. They want authenticity, which often comes from the low stuff.
No, I totally agree. And again, you know, people get caught up with like, you know, especially coming from a film background, people get caught up in, oh my God, I need a Red. I need an Ari. Mm-hmm. I got to rent this. It's like, you don't need that. Like, you don't, sometimes you do, if you're doing like a high level commercial, you want all that stuff. But for a lot of the content, you know, with my clients, like we're a very honest company. So you're not going to hire us for production if you don't need us. And I'll tell you that first thing. And I've had clients wanting to hire me to do something. And I said, guys, I got to be totally honest. You're better off doing this yourself.
Yeah.
Like you're better off hiring me as a consultant. I'll come in. I'll show you how to do the content, just give you some basic rules about filming. We can put together a content strategy calendar. I'll show you how to run your whole social media. If you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do for 3 months straight, we can go over that. Just really help them do that and figure that out. Because like you said, not everything has to be this high level thing. Some really successful campaigns have just been really low level production that's been done consistently, and consistency is the key to half of the marketing game.
I think if I recall, I read a book that had talked about the Dollar Shave Club story and how he actually put together that commercial. And I think he did it for like $5,000 total. You know, like the whole thing was like, you know, because he had like, I have this much money and I have one shot. And it was funny because in his particular story, he had bought like secondhand, like a container full of razor blades. That's how he even got into the business. I have all of these razor blades. I got $5,000 to freaking, you know, do my marketing. And that's the point is like he didn't use a huge budget. He ended up creating something that did go viral and did end up with, you know, like 100 million views or something. I don't know what the number is up to, but you know, but he did it on a lesser budget. And that's the thing is businesses, brands, they can do that. You know, they have to get out of their heads that you have to have these huge budgets because we see these car commercials or whatever, and you know, Mercedes, and it's all this high end stuff and everything anymore. And all these other, like, you're not a big brand. Don't worry about being it. Don't try to be it.
100%. Yeah. And the other thing too, Cash, just about that, you know, with the Dollar Shave Club too, you know, no matter how skilled you are at this stuff, there is always going to be a slight element of luck behind it. There just is, yes. Like really catching. Yeah. There just is like, you know, like, cause even, you know, I have a lot of friends in marketing and some of them have done campaigns that were super successful. And then they kind of took a similar approach and put it to something else. And even in our case, we've done it and it's like, didn't get the results. And it's like, you know, not all there definitely is a skill set. It's very particular, but you know, the Dollar Shave Club, that magnitude of astronomical success.
Yeah.
When you hit the culture right at the right time and the demographic and the, when you hit everything at the right time, that's not always something that you can fully measure out.
Right. And like I say, I think that's the kind of the point there would be that with, you know, something like that, you know, the dude hit a grand slam. But that's not the case in most, you know, for most campaigns. Okay. But if you're looking at longevity, hit singles, hit doubles, you know, hit the occasional home run because you're building up something long term. So you don't need everything to, you know, kind of like don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you're, you know, you might be trying multiple campaigns. You might be trying to, you know, see what gets traction and then drop one. You know, we always do A/B split testing, right? You got a winner, you got a loser. Get rid of the loser, go into the winner and then refine it. You know, make it better, you know, as you go along.
100%. And Cash, I know we're getting to time, but I just wanted to transition over to this topic because I think this is important.
Sure.
And I don't think it's talked about enough at all. You know, I think the marketing industry still, well, just in general, there's just still an obsession with social media and it's great. Mm-hmm. Social media is unbelievable, but there's still something to be said about you going out there in person and making moves in person. That's how my company has grown. And we've done amazing things that a lot of, you know, our competitors have not. And it's all due because we're constantly, you know, out there marketing, whatever we're marketing, but really putting ourselves out there, building relationships. Mm-hmm. Those relationships are more people don't realize relationships are marketing too. Right. It's like all this stuff is really part of it. So, you know, I just want to kind of, you know, just make sure that people are with social media, with your ad buys, with all of that stuff, do all that. Don't not do all that, but don't forget how important the human element is, because that's going to open up doors for you that a social media ad will never be able to.
Right. Yeah. That's, I guess, you know, what I like to tell people, and when it comes to marketing, there is no easy button. You know, cause I've had a lot of people come to me over the years hoping there, it does not exist. Nope. I don't care how hard you look, you're not going to find it. And I think that's, you know, really what matters. It takes work. It's going to take, and there's no, and that means social media is not an easy button. No, there's no platform that is. And a lot of the times the platforms you're thinking, like when social media first came along, it was everybody, you got to be on social, right? Social only works for like a small segment, honestly, of businesses, like huge number of businesses.
Very true.
But it doesn't work great for a manufacturer. It doesn't work great for, you know, a lot of different types of businesses. It does work really good for, you know, like I say, if you're a restaurant, if you're, you know, retail brands and stuff, yes, it can kill, you know, if you don't, if done right. It's a lot of work, you know, but like I say, no easy button. I don't care where you look.
I agree. I totally agree. And even then, and even if you're a thing, like you, like, yes, the social media, but you might build a relationship that gives you a huge opportunity because someone likes you and he says, hey, I want your sneaker in my movie or whatever, mm-hmm. just based on a personal relationship, and that can skyrocket the whole thing. I mean, we're not gonna get into it, but I have examples for days, including some recent ones where a personal relationship has kind of changed the whole outlook of how we're doing things, and it has opened up new pipelines and methodologies of how to market. So yeah, so just, you know, just do a mix of everything. Don't ever think that one, and again, I don't recommend someone only go out either. You got to do a mix, go out, be active. But yeah, I mean, I think that's just an important method that, you know, don't only just lean on technology. Yes, AI is amazing. It's making things so much easier. But, you know, that human element is still going to get things done that technology just will never be able to.
Yeah, AI is not an easy button either. It makes you more efficient, but it's not going to do all the work for you.
I don't know. There's a couple of easy buttons, Cash. We can talk about it offline, but I've discovered a couple easy buttons that I'm pretty fascinated by.
Yeah, we found some that definitely make it easier, but it, you know, still doesn't solve all our problems.
No, of course.
Jason, this has been great. How would people get a hold of you if they wanted to be able to work with you?
Yeah, so you can find us at vneck.media. That's our website. There's no.com. You can find us there. We're also on Instagram at vneck.media. Again, there's no.com. People get confused. Just vneck.media. And yeah, we're online. We're on Instagram. You can find us all on LinkedIn. I'm Jason Margassa. You type in VNEC, you will find all of our partners and affiliate partners. And yeah, just, you know, if you want to reach out, we talk to everybody, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. My name is Cash Miller. I'm the host of Marketing Masters. I'm also the CEO of Titan Media Works. We do podcast production. We've been talking about brands and what you can do from a marketing standpoint. No matter what size business you have, you can build a brand. Don't think it's just for the biggest companies that we've known forever. I say that you can build a brand locally, you can build it nationally, and one day even globally. I say you got to start somewhere, so just do it. There's things, you know, there are strategies you can use, but you need to, you know, start today. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next episode.